It is 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And 7 o'clock on a Monday evening means it's time now for the Opera Box. Good evening, everyone. Welcome in KGNU's Opera Box, the best seat in the house. I'm your host, Ron Adell, tonight with a playlist highlighting the voice and career of one of the most famous American sopranos of the last century, Anna Moffo. Her golden voice and fashion model looks captivated the world, as here in Musetta's aria from Act Two of La Boheme. We'll also hear her in the music of Verdi, Donizetti, Halevi, and Massenet. Her busy life eventually hurt her voice, and we'll see how when you join me now in the Opera Box. Coquettish Musetta grabs the spotlight, making her lover Marcello jealous, from Act Two of Puccini's La Boheme. We heard the great Anna Moffo as Musetta. You could also hear briefly there Maria Callas as Mimi, Giuseppe Di Stefano as Rudolfo, and Rolando Panerai as Marcello. Antonio Vato conducted the orchestra of the La Scala Opera. It's 3.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box at KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadell. Tonight, I have a playlist featuring the voice of the great American soprano, Anna Moffo. She rose to fame in the late 50s. Her rich voice and fashion model looks were a 1-2 punch, scoring a big impact with television, movies, and stereo records. Anna Moffo was born in Wayne, Pennsylvania, to Italian parents, and she lived from 1932 to 2006. After graduating high school, she turned down a chance to go to Hollywood and opted instead to go to the Curtis Institute to study voice. And in 1954, she received a Fulbright scholarship and traveled to Italy, where she continued her studies at the National Academy of St. Cecilia in Rome. She made her operatic debut in a minor role at the opera in Spoleto, Italy, in 1955. But she achieved fame a year later, still inexperienced, as Cho-Cho-san in a nationally televised performance of Puccini's Madame Butterfly in Italy. Cho-Cho-san is a 16-year-old Japanese bride, and the 24-year-old beauty Anna Moffo totally embodied that role. Listen to her here in Cho-Cho-San's famous Act II aria, Un Bel Di, where the young Japanese bride has been waiting for 3 years for her American husband, a Navy lieutenant, to return to her, believing he will return one fine day. Young Cho-Cho-san waits faithfully for her American husband to return from Act Two of Puccini's Madame Butterfly. And, of course, we heard the great Anna Moffo as Cho-Cho-san with Olivio De Fabritis conducting the Milan Opera Orchestra. 19 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock, and you're in the Opera Box at KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a playlist featuring the great American soprano, Anna Moffo. Her performance as Madame Butterfly led to two more televised performances that same year. The next year, 1957, she made her American debut in Chicago as Mimi in La Boheme. She was all over the newspapers, and now an international sensation at 25. She assumed three other new roles that same year in Mozart, Massenet, and Donizetti. Her performance of the mad scene in Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor stopped the show with a 10-minute stomping ovation. And when you listen to her now in the mad scene from Lucia di Lammermoor, you'll get some idea why.
Thank you.
Lucia, forced to marry a man she didn't love, rejected by her lover whom she thought was dead, murders her fiancé and wanders the halls insane. From Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor, we heard the amazing Anna Maffo with Colin Davis conducting the Philharmonia Orchestra. You're listening to KGNU. This is the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with my program highlighting the voice and career of the soprano Anna Maffo. And be sure to stay with me after the Opera Box for a Classic Monday. I'll have another supplement to my series on the symphony tonight with the music of Arnold Bax, Karel Szymanowski, and Alexander Scriabin. That's tonight at 8 p.m. right here on KGNU.
Support comes from Westward, presenting Westward's Feast to Go, a celebration of Denver's restaurant scene, one bite at a time. Thursday, May 13th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Stanley Marketplace in Aurora. Tickets and information at westwardfeast.com.
Support comes from Colorado Tech Point, a technology store specializing in sales and repair service of verified pre-owned laptops, computers, and mobile devices. Located at 436 Main Street in downtown Longmont. More information at co-techpoint.com or by calling 303-848-3738.
Well, before the 50s were out, Anna Maffo was an international super sensation on stage and television. In 1957, she married her TV director, Mario Lanfranchi. The world couldn't get enough of her, and so to add to her achievements, she appeared in movies, operatic as well as non-operatic, making a movie a year for 12 years running. She was billed with the world's most important tenors and baritones, Giuseppe Di Stefano, Jussi Buerling, Alfredo Kraus, Franco Corelli, Richard Tucker, Robert Merrill, and she worked with the world's top conductors, Herbert von Karajan, Carlo Maria Giulini, Leopold Stokowski, Eric Leinsdorf, and George Schulte. In 1959, she made her Metropolitan Opera debut as Violetta in Verdi's La Traviata. The famous Parisian courtesan would become Maffo's signature role. Then in 1967, she reprised that role for a film version directed by her husband. And here she is from that film, in Violetta's great Act One aria. Violetta is loved by many, but she declares she prefers to be sempre libera, forever free.
Woo!
The Parisian courtesan Violetta declares she prefers her life as it is, sempre libera, forever free, although later she will fall madly in love with the young Alfredo Germain. And we heard Anna Moffo as Violetta, and you could hear Franco Bonisoli there in the background as Germain, and Giuseppe Pitani conducted the Rome Opera Orchestra. Well, perhaps Moffo's greatest partnership was with the American tenor Richard Tucker and the baritone Robert Merrill. They often performed at the Met and together all around the world. And here they are in Act Two of La Traviata, with Violetta now deeply in love with Alfredo. But Alfredo's father, Giorgio, asks Violetta to break up with Alfredo for Alfredo's sister's sake. She's about to be engaged. But Alfredo's affair with Violetta is scandalous, threatening her engagement. Violetta feels she has no choice but to break up. And after Giorgio leaves, Alfredo arrives to find her crying. She lies, telling him she's having money problems.
Thank you.
Violetta convinced that she must break up with Alfredo from Verdi's La Traviata. And we heard Anna Maffo as Violetta, and then you could hear the great Richard Tucker, tenor, as Alfredo Germont, and the wonderful Robert Merrill, baritone, as Giorgio Germont. Fernando Previtali conducted the Rome Opera Orchestra. Well, by the mid-60s, Maffo had racked up major roles in every genre of opera, from Baroque to Mozart, Bel Canto, French Romantics, and as we've heard, Verismo. Another tragic Verdi role that shows off Maffo's vocal agility is Gilda from Rigoletto. Here, she's met and fallen in love with a young man whom she thinks is a poor student. She doesn't know he's actually the wanton Duke of Mantua.
Thank you.
Oh, the young and innocent Gilda, charmed off her feet by the lascivious Duke, disguised as a poor student. From Verdi's Rigoletto, with Anna Moffo as Gilda and Georg Schulte conducted the Rome Opera Orchestra. Well, in addition to her stage, studio, and TV and film work, she had her own TV show in Italy. With her demanding schedule, she was having to learn a dozen new roles each year. In 1972, she divorced her husband, Mario Lanfranchi, and then in 1974, she married Robert Sarnoff, the chairman of RCA. With all her demanding commitments and personal life, her voice began to suffer. People noticed it was starting to sound huskier, tired. But with Sarnoff as her husband, she could rely on steady studio recording. You begin to hear changes in her voice in her 1974 recording as Princess Eudoxie from La Juive, The Jewess, by Fromental Halevi. Princess Eudoxie's in love with Prince Leopold. He's been gone for a while, and in this aria, she's ecstatic to learn he's returning. She doesn't know his secret. He's been with a Jewish woman, risking banishment for him and death for her.
Thank you.
Princess Eudoxie ecstatic to learn that her Prince Leopold is returning. That's from Act 3 of Halévy's La Juive, The Jewess. That was Anna Moffo as the Princess. Antonio de Almeida conducted the new Philharmonia Orchestra. I think you can hear a little bit of a difference in Moffo's voice, a bit breathier, huskier. It's a bit more obvious if we compare her in Madame Butterfly's aria Une Belle Die, which we recorded some 10 years apart. The voice is not as bright. I think you can hear the difference, and they have to have the microphone a lot closer to her in that second recording compared to her 1950s performance. People began to comment, and some wondered if her career was over. It all came to an unfortunate head with her 1975 recording of Massenet's Thaïs. Critics bluntly lamented her coarse middle register and forced breathiness, made worse by the close microphone placement, to compensate for her tired voice. She found a new teacher, Beverly Johnson, who was quoted in a 1977 New York Times article. Anna had one of the really natural, true voices, she said, but she didn't have a physiological technique to fall back on. Her breath control is weak, with no resonance in the middle and lower voice. We've been trying to build up her stamina for 2 years. Moffo admitted that she struggled to understand what she was doing wrong. To critics, it was obvious. Her voice was fatigued from overwork, and she kept working. She was consciously or unconsciously compensating, using muscles differently, changing her technique, only making things worse, weakening the middle range, becoming shrill on top. In another interview, Moffo blamed it in part on her ex-husband, Lanfranchi. He drove her hard, pushing her to coloratura roles, increasing her commitments, as if she was like a machine that could handle anything. Well, listening to Thaïs aria from Act Two, we hear the difference. Thaïs, the courtesan, in a moment of solitude, looks for reassurance that she's still beautiful.
Thank you.
That was Thais from Jules Massenet's opera. We heard Anamafo as Thais with Julius Rudel conducting the new Philharmonia Orchestra. Well, after 2 years with a new teacher, Maffo attempted one more opera recording of Montemezzi's Love for Three Kings. Critics were kinder, commenting on improvements since Thais, but they admitted it was not the same on Anamafo. After a few more stage performances, she retired in 1983. She became an important member of the Metropolitan Opera Board of Directors. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me for tonight's program featuring the voice and career of Anamafo. Stay tuned for A Classic Monday.
A big thanks to Adam in Broomfield for donating a 2001 Subaru Legacy Outback to KGNU. To get more out of a vehicle you no longer need, donate it. We'll take care of everything, and pickup is free. Just call 1-844-KGNU-CAR to get started today.
Support comes from the CU Museum of Natural History in Boulder, currently offering a new virtual experience of their popular paleontology hall, plus fresh exhibits and do-it-yourself activities, available online in both English and Spanish. More information can be found at colorado.edu/CU Museum.
Support comes from Pro Musica Colorado Chamber Orchestra, presenting Springtime, featuring Vivaldi's Spring and Summer with violinist Yumi Wong Williams, live streamed online May 1st at 7:30 p.m. More information at promusicacolorado.org.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell, and tonight I've got a supplement to my earlier series of programs tracing the development of the symphony, examining the symphonic music of British composer Arnold Bax. We're going to hear his Symphony No. 6, which he dedicated to the Polish composer Karol Szymanowski, who was inspired by the music of Russian composer Alexander Scriabin. And so we're going to hear music from all of them as well. I'll have some musical illustrations for us to help us navigate our way through the music when you join me now for a continuing journey through the symphony. Arnold Bax was born in Streatham, Surrey, which is a suburb of London, and he lived from 1883 to 1953. His family were wealthy merchants, which allowed Bax freedom to follow his whims. He's most famous for his orchestral works, his symphonies and tone poems, but he also composed chamber and choral music, and he was an author and poet as well. As a boy, he enjoyed music and took piano lessons. He could have become a formidable pianist, but he liked to joke that he couldn't remember a day when he didn't play the piano inaccurately. He attended the Royal College of Music, where he acquired a preference for Germanic music, particularly Wagner. Well, the latter part of the 19th century saw a resurgence